Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 5th of May, recording at 9:03 p.m. British Summer Time. Now, apologies for what I gather was a rather faint recording in terms of volume. Last Friday, I'm almost certainly inadvertently lowered the sound level on the manual control, but it should be back up to full volume here right now. So, what can we say about these markets? First, the strong gains that we had seen on Friday did not spill over into Asian trading, quite possibly because of a strong early rise in the price of oil on some more comments from Iran. So we had weakness in Asia for the most part. We had moderate weakness in Europe, but Wall Street's taken quite a hit here today, nearly 200 points down on the Dow, and it's at 1.77%, a little bit more on the NASDAQ, and 2.25% decline. Did I say NASDAQ? I did. Slightly more on the S&P. And the NASDAQ closed, NASDAQ composite, with nearly a 2.25% decline in here. So lest anyone felt that maybe we were not still in a medium-term correction, or that we were seeing something better than the right-hand extension to the type 2 top formation characteristic that I've talked about, weakness on Wall Street will undermine some of those hopes. And certainly the technical action continues to look like a medium-term correction. But this is supposed to be a review of the highlights, and I'm jumping ahead of myself. Weakness in bond markets, concern over inflation. The dollar was weak earlier on, but recovered some of those, most of that weakness, as is often the case when Wall Street's quite weak, and I'll say more about that in a moment. And metal prices were quite strong, particularly the precious metals earlier in the day. Now, some of those gains were held among the industrial metals, but the precious metals reversed those declines. So the contagion factor is still very much a factor in here when the U.S. stock market turns down. That also dragged oil back down. Okay, so where are we here? Well, in stock markets, it's been a case of 1 or 2 days on the upside and then a fairly sharp reaction, but still all within a trading range, although Wall Street's getting down towards the lower side of that trading range, and the Dow's only 48 points away from that psychologically important 11,000 level, which I certainly think will be taken out before too much longer, if not sooner, then certainly within the next few weeks. And that will be, I believe, a psychological Rubicon for U.S. investors who are nervous enough already. But you remember all the trumpeting about bull market and about how the Dow was likely to take off once it broke above the 11,000 level. I think I had an email or two of that nature, which I posted while politely disagreeing that the Dow is in a takeoff position. So I do feel that this will be a body blow to sentiment at a time when market confidence is already fragile. The best that I can envisage for global stock markets is sideways ranging in the right-hand extension phase. That would include small extensions to the rallies off the recent lows before we head lower in this medium-term correction. Now, I'm not becoming more bearish. This is nothing other than what I've expected all along when I said the second and third quarters would feature a medium-term correction. So that's all I'm looking for. But don't expect that we won't see some hysterical comments in here. And I noticed a few headlines in terms of some of the email reports and services that come into me. People are talking about the crash of 2006 and so on. Well, any sharp sell-off will feel a bit like a crash, just as any run on the upside feels like a bubble to some, particularly those who aren't participating in it. But I don't want to digress here too much. It's easier to lose money in the stock market environment than to make it. Clearly, given what Wall Street's done in here, unless Asia shows, for some particular reason, real relative strength in here tomorrow, clearly my late Friday evening purchase of some Nikkei futures was a act of bravado bordering on the reckless, but I've got a reasonably tight stop, and I'll live with that and pay the price if necessary. My Dow short, needless to say, has had quite a good day in here. So, what else? Bond markets. Now, these were spooked a bit by some Bernanke concerns and the higher oil price, talk about inflation. My feeling really is that the Fed and other central banks will be watching the markets. They've taken short-term interest rates up enough to say, well, we've done the job pretty much. If it looks like stock markets are starting to weaken and growth is slowing, and that on its own should curb some of the inflationary pressures. You know, my script on this said that they would trigger almost certainly some sort of hopefully only a minor, I expect only a minor economic slowdown, and that the weaker markets again would exact their own toll in terms of monetary tightening and certainly lower the velocity with which money changes hands, and that central banks would be able to declare a partial victory over inflation. And so I think we're probably getting more posturing than anything else. If Wall Street goes hammering down, then you can be absolutely certain Bernanke will worry less about his inflation-fighting credentials, which were shored up with today's comments, and start reassuring people that he wasn't going to allow the U.S. economy to slide into recession, let alone a general overall deflationary environment, which is his biggest fear. Now, in the swings and roundabouts of developments, I've got an Inco long position, which has served me well in recent months, coming up for expiry tomorrow. Now, the Inco long position was done as a spread bet, even though I have emphasized that this is one of the world-class mines, one of the three that I currently hold. The other two are held in my long-term investment accounts. I bought the Inco on a leveraged basis, mainly because I didn't want to be putting new cash into the markets. I think it was last autumn when I was picking up the position, or I didn't want to sell anything that I had held in there and replace it with the Inco. I was content to hold on to what I actually had in my investment portfolio. So I picked it up on a spread bet position. Now, in terms of my long-term investments, I do expect them, as you know, to experience some profit erosion in this medium-term correction, but I have chosen, and stated many times that I would do this, to hedge those positions asymmetrically rather than sell them out. And I wouldn't even think of selling Inco if it were in my cash position overall. Sure, could it easily experience some profit erosion, but fundamentally, I think it's an outstanding situation. Good heavens, it's even being bid for. But because I have it in a spread bet position, I will probably let that expire, because I think between, rather than take out a September contract, because I really feel that between now and September, I could see that bobbing up and down, and then there's some contango costs. Now, I'm only mentioning this in this detail because I know that a number of subscribers hold the Inco, and I don't want to worry them inordinately. I will feel very sorry for myself if I'm not able to acquire Inco for my investment portfolio at a price near, possibly even a little better than today's prices over the next few months. But in the meantime, as I say, I think I probably will let that spread bet position expire. That's has to be handled on more of a on more of a trading basis. But needless to say, there is quite a high risk that I'll see the share run away from me, not least because of that bid price. Okay, I've covered that. Now on to the government bond markets. I don't like this sector, and here we have, mind you, it had a pretty good day on Friday, but it's weak in here today because of the inflation fears, and it isn't until we either get central banks theatrically and somewhat misleadingly declaring a victory on inflation. I'll put it this way. I accept that they could easily see some temporary success here, but you know my view. I think that we will get an undulating long-term inflationary cycle in which the troughs for the PPI and CPI are gradually rising and the highs are also rising. So it'll look like an uptrend, a jagged uptrend. I can't see bonds really rallying until they see investors see evidence of an economic slowdown or an accelerating stock market sell-off that is not partly due to inflation fears. And therefore, I have no investment interest whatsoever in these long-dated government bonds. And but as I've said before, would welcome a reasonable rally to allow me to establish some more short positions. In the short term, I'm not going to increase my short positions beyond the small JGB position that I have, because the stock market risk is sufficient that we could easily see higher prices temporarily in the government long-dated bond markets. In terms of the US dollar, now the dollar tends to steady when Wall Street is weak. That may seem like a paradox, but what tends to happen is that US investors sell some of their overseas investments. They've been doing a lot of that recently and bring the money home, or at least people expect them to do that. And also, when people are becoming frightened, generally they tend to retreat into a reserve currency, and there aren't that many choices overall. But the euro has been really quite steady overall, and I don't expect that to change much. I do expect the dollar to weaken further, but when you get a day like today with the Dow here really quite weak, it tends to recoup some of those losses. As I say, as American investors who've spread a lot of money around the globe tend to retreat back into their currency. Now, the metals. I've talked about the cascade effect that maybe is a little bit melodramatic, but or the contagion effect, and that's still very much with us. And despite the concern over inflation that weakened the government bond market, we saw gold pull back because of the stock market sell-off. Now, for instance, this morning, spot gold got up to 645.79. So I think it was up about $7 or $8 at one stage, but in after-hours trading, it's almost $10 lower. It's 636.45. So it gave up those gains. Ditto silver. Silver had run up quite sharply, and then it's pulled right back close to the $12 level, and that's really evident throughout the precious metals sector. And it pulled down some of the industrial metals or caused them to pare their gains. And where it didn't, I suspect it's because they closed earlier on the LME and might well be vulnerable tomorrow. So again, say we can expect this contagion effect, and the psychological leader in here is the stock market. So strong stock market allows the precious metals to push up again, and also the industrial metals. Weaker stock markets, people start worrying about economic slowdown, possibly even recession, possibly even deflationary pressures, and we see all those metal prices coming down. And as I mentioned earlier on, oil also retraced its gains, although it remains pretty steady overall, generally. And I think that's about it. What about those soybeans? They were down a little bit, 4 3/4 ticks here, back to 6.10 on the September contract, which I hold. And no doubt more excitement tomorrow. All the best.